everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Colin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course.
So, we are going to talk about a trailing spouse that is a dad, which is you.
That's me.
And I think this is something that's getting more common. Traditionally, when we talk about trailing spouses or when we think about trailing spouses, usually it's the stereotypical man who is the primary breadwinner, who brings along wifey wife and the kids, and they settle down in Luxembourg. However, I have noticed that the trailing dad is a more prevalent thing. So I wanted to bring you in because you're my friend, and hopefully you can shed some light on what that's like for other families that are thinking about moving here.
Yeah, no problem.
Before we jump into what it's like for you to be a trailing dad, how do you feel about that word, by the way, trailing dad? Is that fine?
I sometimes joke that it feels like I'm holding the coattails of my wife as she's walking into her job.
Yeah. Holding the coattails, that image reminds me of the guy who was the husband of Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
What was the name? Phil? Sorry, Queen Elizabeth's husband. I'm really blanking on your name and you seem like such a nice man. Anyway, that totally reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Before we dig into that visual metaphor and what that means in your day-to-day, tell me your Luxembourgish story. When did you come here? How did it start? And how's it going?
Yeah, I was actually talking to my wife about this before I came on the podcast, and she was like, actually, in 1 week, we will be here for 3 years.
Congratulations.
Yes.
So by the time this comes out, you have been here for 3 years.
Yes, which I think is a fair time to really ingrain yourself in the Luxembourg society and to understand kind of the ins and outs of the community here.
So you figured out like where to grocery shop, where the doctors are, you got school sorted.
Yes, I no longer have to use Google Translate on my grocery labels.
Good on you.
Yeah.
I still do, especially cleaning stuff.
Yeah.
And baking stuff.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't translate, pro tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my Luxembourgish story is, it's pretty cool. Like I said, we've been here for 3 years, and about a year before we moved out here, my wife had started talking to her company about moving to Luxembourg, and there's a lot of, obviously, paperwork that went along with that. Even before that, I would say my wife and I had always had a curiosity to move to Europe. When I lived in the United States, I worked for Adidas in Portland, Oregon, and while I was working for them, we thought, oh, maybe we could move with the company to Germany and work out there. We always had a curiosity. And even before that, I'm from Texas. My wife is from Oregon and we went to school in Colorado. And so I would say even in the country of the United States, we were always very nomadic and curious about other cultures and all that type of stuff. So when it came to moving to Luxembourg, we jumped at the opportunity.
And I happen to know where your wife works.
Yes.
Which we don't have to say on the podcast, but it's a fairly large financial institution, we could say that. It sounds like the move was instigated by you guys rather than the company calling you and being like, hey, guess what? There's a role in Luxembourg.
Yeah.
Why Luxembourg? Because they have offices in Japan, London, lots of places.
Yeah. As my wife has been working at the company for 10 years now, she's always done a good job of kind of climbing that corporate ladder. And this was an opportunity for her to, again, to grow her career and to manage more people. And why her company is here in Luxembourg as a result of Brexit. Many financial institutions moved out of there to service their EU clients. And so this office is growing. And the person that was managing her team before her had decided to move back to the United States. And they reached out to her because before we moved to Luxembourg, we lived in Dallas, Texas, where she had opened the office there also to help grow that place. So the reason why we chose Luxembourg, it was an opportunity. I was at a point in my career in Dallas working for my family's company where we knew we were having a baby. I had always been excited to be a father. I always wanted to be a very hands-on father. And so us moving to Luxembourg was an opportunity for me to take some time off, be a stay-at-home father. And I really jumped at that opportunity because I knew where we were in our family's kind of trajectory that, hey, I needed to support my wife more than I needed to hold on to my career. And I was confident in my career as far as being able to apply those skills to Luxembourg.
You were in Texas working for your family business.
Yep.
And your wife was like, hey, looks like this opportunity that we have both wanted could actually be happening.
Yeah.
are you willing to quit your job and come with me? And the answer for you was just like, yes, because we're going to have young kids and someone's got to do it.
Exactly. Obviously, moving to a foreign country and it being our first child, we were a bit nervous on, as any new parent is, the daycare situation, who's going to be taking care of my child, what's going to be the language barrier. And we just thought it would be easiest to just say, hey, Colin, if you could just be a stay-at-home parent for until the kid basically gets into daycare or creche, then that would be best for us to be more comfortable with the situation of moving to a foreign country that doesn't, let's just say English isn't the main language.
Okay, so two questions. One, yeah. When you moved here, was your wife pregnant or did you just have the baby?
Yeah, the baby was 5 months old.
Oh, that's got to be so hard. I moved when the baby was 7 months old, and I'd say, pro tip, do not move when the baby's that young, because you're up all night and your spouse is at some new job and you're by yourself and you don't speak any of the languages. That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Is that what happened to you?
Yeah. I think as a stay-at-home parent, your obviously full-time job is to help take care of the child. And so I really took that on as far as, hey, the baby wakes up at 2 a.m. Hey, honey, you keep sleeping. I will go and make sure that they're safe and they can go back to sleep. And it was really a role I took on as far as, you got a team to manage tomorrow and I have a baby I need to manage. And
how do you do, like, how do you cope with that? Because my husband particularly, sorry, he's not listening, but if he was, maybe this one he'll actually listen to. He does not do well if he doesn't get 8.5 to 9 hours of sleep at night.
Yes. And as the stereotypical thing that people are said with children, sleep when the baby sleeps. So as a stay-at-home parent, I did take advantage of daytime naps and having a very flexible schedule versus if I were to work and be a supporting parent, I would definitely have been deprived of my sleep and maybe not functioning as well as I could in my work environment.
Grumpy. Yeah. The other thing I think it's worth noting is that you only have one kid. So when you have three, the sleep when the baby sleeps is less, but I could just never do that. Even when I only had one, I think just to make it through the morning, I abused caffeine so much that I couldn't take a nap. And it was just a downward spiral kind of for 10 years, really. Anyways, so you really leaned into the stay-at-home parent role. And how did you find, A, the acceptance of you being a dad, who's the primary caregiver here in Luxembourg? And also, what about navigating the school, the daycare, all that stuff? Are you happy with it?
Yeah, just to back up a little bit, I've always been a big reader of parenting styles and the parent internet culture, which some people can say is not good, but I've found it to be very beneficial.
What's the parent internet culture?
Oh, as we all are engulfed with social media these days, there's so many people on whatever social media platform you might be using that have advice for you.
Some influencer pushing gentle parenting.
Or exactly.
Mess around and find out parenting.
Or they happen to be wearing scrubs they bought from some sort of secondhand store and are giving you advice on pediatric stuff. I'm a big Reddit reader. And one of the communities I found that was very beneficial was a dad community called Dadit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, Dadit.
Yes.
Put it in the show notes.
Yes. And there's also another community that was suggested to me from Dadit called Stay-at-Home Dads.
Okay.
So I really engulfed myself in reading about being a stay-at-home father.
So this is really something that you had the aptitude for and the desire before you even started having kids.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I've never actually heard a guy come out and say that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of information out there, and every parent is different in how they want to manage their children. And so I've found different ways in these different communities of people talking about their different experiences. And it really related to me as far as, if somebody has a similar question, you're going to get similar responses. The community will come to a good consensus as far as what the approach needs to be.
Can you give me some specific examples? So it's Dadit and Stay-at-Home Dads, and those are Reddit forums.
Exactly.
Okay.
One of the biggest things I picked up early on being a stay-at-home parent was routine. You have to do the same thing every single day in order to get your child to understand the routine. So I took this very seriously. My wife often laughs at me during this time of being a stay-at-home parent because we were breastfeeding our child at the time. She would go to work. She worked with her corporation to get a pumping room. And before she left, I made sure that, hey, you have a quota of a number of ounces of milk I need.
You told her quota.
Yes.
Wow.
She called me her milk producer. but also with that came cleaning the equipment and making sure that her life was as easy as possible.
And you were doing all that.
Yes.
Dude, I want to stay at home dad.
Yes, I made sure that all of her equipment was as good. She had her little lunchbox with the ice cooler and the bags were ready as soon as she got home. I took those things because I need to make sure when I'm being a stay-at-home dad the next day that I had everything ready in order to be in that routine. And that's baby gets up the same time, takes a nap at the same time every day, eats breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time every day. And that really helped me, one, set my expectations for what I needed to do as a stay-at-home parent, and two, really help the baby adapt to that lifestyle.
On the one hand, my jaw is dropping. Wow, how amazing that your wife has this husband who's so involved. He's cleaning her breastfeeding pump things.
Yeah.
I don't even remember, flangella. I don't even remember what they're called anymore. And like you said, like she said, project managing her feeding schedule.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, did it ever provide a conflict? Because I could see myself getting annoyed. It's my body, my choice. I'll pump when I want. Yeah. Don't stress me out.
Yeah.
But again, I understand where you're coming from because you can't make the milk.
Yeah. What I realized with a lot of parenting is, especially from a mother's standpoint, especially if you have that relationship with your child that really bonds the mother and child together, that it's hard for the father to have that same level of bond with mm-hmm. their child, especially if the parent didn't have as much as hand-on attention that I was able to have. For example, I have friends that are like, oh, the mom can only get the child to sleep at night. But my wife and I, because of the relationship I have with my daughter now, are able to switch basically every single night. And it allows us to both have a level of autonomy that maybe some other parents don't have. And so I think that's something I'm really grateful for now that my child is three and a half years old, that we can have that level of relationship and it's not just like mommy.
That's actually really nice because I have kids that are a little bit older than yours, but they go through phases and we definitely have been getting out of it, but in a phase where the baby was like obsessed with me.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my friends' parents, they called their kid the leech. And I was like, my kid is the leech. That's a perfect word.
Yeah.
You know, and then they get over it with our middle.
Yeah.
He was the leech, quote unquote. And then he figured out dad knows how to play Legos and mom could not give it what about Legos.
Yeah.
And then he dropped me like it was hot.
Yeah.
And that was, then it was like over to dad. Yeah. But my husband was waiting for that time. Yeah. Like, but it makes sense not managing the day to day.
And just to go back to your original question about our approach to Luxembourg and all that type of stuff, back to my curiosity of using the internet as a major resource, I want to give a big plug to a community here in Luxembourg that was very open to me when I first got here, called the Daddies of Luxembourg.
Amazing.
Yes.
Facebook? And where is
it? So I found it on Facebook. And when I came here, one of the gentlemen, Henning, reached out to me and was like, hey, when you guys land, let's get together. And it's actually a really funny story. As you've probably mentioned on your podcast a couple of times, Luxembourg is a village and everybody's 2 degrees separated from each other.
Yeah.
So when I landed, Henning invited me out and my family out to breakfast one morning and his kid was around my kid's age. And he was like, oh, do you know a guy named Paul and Corey? And my wife was like, yeah, they work at my company. And he was like, oh, they're on my lacrosse team. And I'm like, oh, I play lacrosse. And so through me finding him on the Daddies of Luxembourg Facebook page and then joining their WhatsApp group, I then went to lunch with him or breakfast with him. And then we happened to know people. And now I'm on the Luxembourg lacrosse team through all these villages of Luxembourg.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
I love that story. So yeah. Daddies of Luxembourg. And so you had proactively reached out and found that Facebook group before you moved?
Exactly.
Okay.
And they're a fantastic group of dads. In the WhatsApp group, there's probably 250 of us where—
All stay-at-home dads?
No, just dads.
Okay.
And it's a really cute community where somebody's water heater will break and they want somebody to help them with that water heater, or hey, there's something going on in Waffle Donge this weekend, or there's something happening at the city center, and they're always updating each other on the different things that are happening in the communities, in the family community of Luxembourg. So it's really great.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. Yeah. Daddies of Luxembourg, if anybody wants to be on the show, let me know, because that's great, great resource for all parents, really.
Yeah.
Usually it falls on the mom to figure out the social calendar, for example.
That's another thing I want to mention is because Luxembourg has such amazing parks and such amazing kind of walking culture, I would say, that as a stay-at-home dad, I was constantly out the door every single day when the weather permitted.
Yeah.
So I was at different parks. I was going to different things. And what I find funny about the stay-at-home parent community.
Here or like at large?
I'll just say here because I've never been a stay-at-home parent outside of Luxembourg, is people are more extroverted than maybe they are on a normal basis because they're with their child all day long who, let's be frank, you can't have the best conversations with your child.
A little boring.
When you're like, hey, how are you doing? Or, hey, I see our children playing with each other. There's such a breath of fresh air that, oh my goodness, I can talk to another adult and have a cohesive conversation with that person that's outside of Miss Rachel or singing lullabies and that type of stuff. So by me being active and going out into different parks and exploring Luxembourg, I was able to make a lot of friends that way. And as we all know, as parents, it's nice that our kids get along, but do the parents get along? And so I found a lot of parents and have grown my social circle just by getting out and going and talking to parents at different parks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Good job.
Yeah.
And do you find that most people speak English at the parks?
Yeah. Definitely. And if they don't, you'll find some way to connect with that parent. If it's just the kids playing with each other in the sandbox or going down the slide, there's always a way to connect with those parents.
I want to ask you a couple of things. One is if you have any advice for if you're moving as a trailing dad or older kids.
Yeah.
I know a dad who just moved here that's struggling, but I had a really hard landing for the first 6 months. I was like, give it 6 months. Maybe you'll change your mind. For older parents. And then also, I want to talk about you as a person. I know you're having another baby. Is that going to just reset the clock as a primary caregiver? Did you talk about wanting to ever go back to work? I want to hear that story too. But first, let's go for the advice for the olders, if you have any.
My child's only 3.5, so I don't have a lot of advice for trailing dads coming into Luxembourg. But I will say, what I love about Europe compared to the United States, I don't know how much you compare the two to cultures to each other as much on this podcast, but Europeans love their clubs. So whatever interest you have, from gliding in an airplane to playing lacrosse to other like-minded dads to football, there's going to be a club for you. Back to when I first got here, my friend Henning from the dads group gave me some great advice. He said, say yes to everything. And again, you have to be maybe more extroverted than you were in your last community, because you are the new kid on the block. And so you need to get out there, say yes to everything, try things out. If you don't like it, you don't have to go back again, but you might meet somebody there that knows somebody that will be a connection to you.
Yeah. That actually is a common thread for everybody who moves here, is join stuff.
Exactly.
Whatever you're interested in, there's probably something that floats your boat. And like you said, if you don't like it, you don't have to go back. I want to ask you though about the time. So you play lacrosse, right?
Yep.
And that's important to you, and that's your social scene and whatever. You're also the guy who's at home all day.
Yeah.
So if your wife's in the office and she comes home and it's Saturday and you're like, oh, I'm going to go play lacrosse. Is she like, no?
No, my wife was very supportive in understanding that, hey, as I joked when I was in the dog days of being a stay-at-home dad, I was like, oh, every day is a Sunday, but you never get a weekend. Because it literally turns into Groundhog's Day. It's the same thing. Again, if you're that type of guy like me who wants routine, it turns into Groundhog's Day. And so my wife is very supportive in being like, hey, you need to get out of the house. You need to go meet people. You need to go exercise. I think self-identity and being a stay-at-home parent are like two sides of the same coin, where you want to be a good parent and a supportive spouse, but you also need to maintain your own identity. And how do you strike a balance between those two things, I think, is very important and healthy for any stay-at-home parent.
Yeah, you don't want to get stuck just defining yourself by the role of making lunches and going to parks and changing diapers, et cetera.
Yeah, and by being a stay-at-home parent, you do have a bit more flexibility than the average person does, maybe, who's going, has a 40-hour job week job. So I was able to join these different communities and that type of stuff, obviously based on people's availability and people coming home from work and all that type of stuff. But no, I give a lot of credit to my wife for being so supportive and allowing me to find my hobbies and identity.
And if your wife has a hobby that she wants to do after work,
yeah.
I don't know, I'm just making this up, Zumba yeah. or something.
Are or you a supportive? Book club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you supportive?
Of course.
You're not
of
like, course. You've been gone all day. You got to do bedtime tonight?
No, because look, something that I joke about as being a stay-at-home parent that I realize is that you have a lot of time in the day. And as much people complain in their corporate lives, oh, I didn't have enough time to get that done. As a stay-at-home parent, you realize that the days are long and the years are short. And so there was plenty of time for everybody to get what they needed out of the day, if it meant going to a club or being with your friends or doing bedtime stuff.
I think I need you to project manage my stay-at-home days, because I don't feel like I ever have enough time
yeah.
between dropping the kids off at school, trying to do my podcast. I have three kids,
yeah.
trying to do consulting, and then pickups at 4, and it's after-school activities. But again, my kids are a little bit older. One other difference between the States and Europe, especially, I can't speak for all of Europe, but maybe Luxembourg specifically, daycare creche starts way earlier.
Yeah.
So once your kid's in creche and you're the stay-at-home parent,
yeah.
what are you doing all day?
Funny you ask. We haven't gotten to this point in the podcast, but what I did recently was I went back to school. So I went and got my MBA at the Luxembourg School of Business.
Tell me your decision to go back to school. I want to hear about that.
Yeah.
Was this part of your identity thing of I'm a stay-at-home parent, but I don't want to lose myself?
Yeah, so we can get into it. I think with being a stay-at-home parent, there's always a fork in the road for you. Either you're going to be a stay-at-home parent for,
forever. Let's
say, the rest of your career, or you can say, hey, I've done my job as a stay-at-home parent. Now it's time for me to reestablish my career. And I have always been a very business-minded person. I love business and kind of the cogs of businesses that turn, and I've always had a curiosity for it. And so when my child started going to creche full-time or part-time and then full-time, I was like, oh man, I need to find something to do for the 4 hours early on and then the 8 hours later on. And I started applying for jobs. And in Europe, what I've realized versus the United States is that people really value their master's degrees. The school system's a little bit less expensive than the United States is.
A lot less expensive.
And when it comes to master's degrees, it feels many people have multiple master's degrees.
Okay, so you felt like the missing piece when you were looking for jobs was that you didn't have a master's degree, but you also don't speak French or German. So can we talk about that? Was that a hindrance?
Yes, and I don't have a desire to work in the finance industry. So it really narrows down my opportunities. But I will say, back to the beginning of the MBA experience, being 2 years out, I was a stay-at-home parent for 2 years before I started to go after this master's degree. And what I realized, especially with business today, is it is ever-evolving, and it's evolving faster than ever before, especially with the advent of artificial intelligence or AI. And by being out of the workforce for 2 years, I felt, oh man, I might be a little rusty on finance or rusty on communication or rusty on just the business acumen that goes along with the day-to-day life in the corporate world. And so by me going and getting my master's degree, it was, yes, I want to get the degree in order to be more relevant to my job, but it also was, wow, this has been a great experience for me to learn about how business has changed in the last 2 years. Also, in Europe versus the United States, it's very multicultural, from the different people you're going to interact with in the corporate world versus the United States. You're going to be working mainly with Americans. And so that's something I wanted to get experience in. My cohort, we represented 10 different countries. And so it was a great experience to learn how to work with other cultures. What are people's different motivations and all that type of stuff that I can now take into being in Luxembourg and going into the job market.
So ultimately you do want to go back to a full-time gig.
Yes.
Because I have news for you. The kids, even though they get bigger, they still need a bunch of stuff, if not more stuff, after school.
Yes.
And somebody has to do that.
Yes. Yes, I have a desire to go back into the corporate world. I think I still have a lot to give, and I am looking forward to utilizing the skills I learned from being a stay-at-home parent in the corporate world. Again, time management's a big one of those. And two, being able to have that experience of being a stay-at-home parent for 2 years. And now as my kid gets older, that bond will never go away versus if I didn't take that time off, I couldn't imagine what my relationship would be with my daughter compared to if I didn't take the time off. So
yeah, I'm sure it would be very different.
Yeah.
All right. So if you have your way, you will eventually go back to a full-time gig.
Yeah.
When you were sitting in Texas thinking, okay, I'm going to quit my family business mm-hmm. and I'm going to follow my wife with the coattails or whatever.
Yeah.
And every day is going to be a Sunday, but never a weekend.
Yeah.
Did you ever think it would be difficult to find a job here?
I had, again, back to me being very resourceful using the internet to find out information. I probably could have done more research on what it's like to be a trailing spouse looking for work in Europe.
Actually non-European.
Exactly. And I have to give Luxembourg a little bit of credit. I think about 2 years ago, they changed the work permits for trailing spouse visa holders. And so that did give me optimism to pursue this harder and through the MBA program to say, hey, once I get done with this program, there will be an avenue of getting back into the corporate world.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish you luck in getting the job that you want.
Yes.
And do you have anything else that you would like to tell anybody who's a dad that's listening to this that either has come here and maybe is not digging it or doesn't know where to go or is thinking about coming here? Would you recommend it?
Yeah. What I really enjoyed about being a stay-at-home parent, it goes back to I'm a very curious person. I've always enjoyed being engulfed in other cultures. I love history, so like being in Luxembourg feels like you're in a medieval fortress if you're willing to go out and explore. I love the museums of Luxembourg, and there is a great walking and running and outdoorsy kind of culture here in Luxembourg, from the Bombesh Forest to city center. It's very beautiful. And so coming from Dallas, where 8 million people, concrete jungle, you have to drive everywhere. It was really nice to be a stay-at-home parent in Luxembourg, being able to go outside and go to all the beautiful parks and walk around and experience it on foot versus being in Texas, where if you wanted outdoor activities, you have to go to another indoor facility and that type of stuff. So my advice is, look, there's plenty of things in our lives where you're standing at the edge of the abyss and you can't see below, and you got to just take the leap of faith and see what happens. I was grateful to have this opportunity. I'm very grateful for my wife for allowing me to do this. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. You get an amazing experience of really bonding with your child. You can engulf yourself in the culture if you're willing to by joining clubs and getting out there and meeting people. But it's definitely worth it. And I really am grateful that I was able to do this.
All right.
Yeah.
And if you have the opportunity to stay, would you be like a lifer in Luxembourg, or do you intend to go back when your kid's in high school or something?
No, I'm very impressed with Luxembourg as far as the amenities and the different opportunities. Obviously, it's centrally located, so if you love traveling, and that's obviously the meme of Luxembourg, is everyone's always traveling to somewhere else. It's green, it's beautiful, it's got a lot of history. So yeah, I would want to stay in Luxembourg as long as possible.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Colin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you like the show, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to leave a comment, or better yet, share with another mom friend. And if there's a topic you'd like to see covered or you want to be on the show yourself, please email me at momlife@rtl.lu. And if you're feeling social, you can always reach me on Facebook and Instagram @MomLife in Luxembourg. Thanks so much, and have a great day.